today. And I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I came to praise him. Because where I was last week is not where I am this week. Where First Lady was last week, she's not there this week. Where we were yesterday, we're in a different place today. Where I was before I walked in the building, I'm in a different place right now. So I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise him. I came to praise him this morning because he has given me another opportunity. Hallelujah. Let's keep things in focus. Let's keep it in focus. The songwriter wrote, "Here I am. Here I am. I looked out and I saw you singing. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are mine, my God." It's time to take ownership. Time to take ownership. Hallelujah. All together, worthily, lovely, all together. All together encompasses everything. All together. Amen. My wife and I, as we were coming to church this morning, we were praying. I said, "I have a spirit of anxiety this morning." And I don't have spirits of anxiety. Amen. But I said, "I have a spirit of anxiety this morning." And I don't know what it was from. I can only speculate. But let me tell you something. That when the songwriter started writing those words that we sang this morning, every anxiety left. All apprehensions was gone. Because the only thing I could do was to worship and let it go and be free. Come on, somebody. And to be free of whatever the devil was trying to hold on to me for. So if you got anxiety this morning, if you got something hanging over you and you feel a little down, let it go. Worship and be free. Hallelujah. I had a whole nother sermon that I had written for today. And God told me at 6:30 this morning, this is it. Amen. And I want to make sure you get it right. He said, it is not how you feel. It is who you are. So I don't care how you feel this morning. I want you to know who you are. Amen. Because your feeling, your emotions, they come and they go. But who you are, once you are in Christ, who you are, can't nobody take that away from you. I don't care how you feel. I want you to know this morning who you are. And it's sad. Because the church has a sad mindset that saintly, being godly, is something that we should feel. Who you are is not what you should feel. Come on, somebody. It is something that God has says we are. Amen? Last week, we were adopted into the family of God. No more strangers, but sons and daughters. Do you know who you are this morning? Unfortunately, sometimes we tend to stop being saints of God because we feel like it. But when you know who you are, whether you feel it or not, you gotta know who you are and whose you are. Amen? When we look around us today, our communities, our families, our children are dying young. Gun violence, drug overdoses, suicide. People are crying and people are without help. They feel lost and hopeless. There's a world of despondency out there. And the church is sitting back because of how we feel. We're waiting on the government to do something. We're waiting on other external forces to reconstruct things. Everything that has fallen down. But when you decide to stop being a saint, the world ain't got nothing to do with that. That's a personal decision. And I want to tell you this morning, all of those external forces cannot fix your spiritual life. There are times in our lives when you ask somebody, what's their job description? They say, oh, we're waiting. And I want to know, what are you waiting for? Sad to say that the kingdom of God is waiting because God's people are waiting. The kingdom of God is waiting because God's people are waiting. God wants to know this morning, what are you waiting for? God wants to know this morning, what are you waiting on? He has given us the keys to the kingdom. We have given up the kingdom for a lie. And in the seat that we should be sitting in, the devil's sitting in it right now. It's our ruling seat. He's sitting in it, and that's a shame. Matthew 16 and 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Are you with me this morning? He says, I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what keys are for? Keys are to unlock, or keys are to lock. That's why he says, so whatever you bound on earth is bound already in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. What are you waiting for? You got the keys to the kingdom. But it's not how you feel. I don't feel like using the key today. But you are called to use the keys because of who you are. That sometimes means praying for somebody that you don't like. That sometimes means picking somebody up and bringing them to church that's too far out your way. Hallelujah. You are God's child. I want you to know this morning, the world will not change until God's people step up to their kingdom responsibilities. Amen? You looking at this world, you think it's going to change? It's not going to change till you change and step up to the responsibilities that God has given you. So the solution begins with me, and it begins with you. Amen? You are the king's child, a son or daughter of God himself. How wonderful is that? How awesome is that? That you can call him Father. 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 You can call him Father. You can't just walk up to anybody in the street and call them Father. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, call no man Father. Except for the Father. He's not talking about your earthly father now. But he's talking about spiritually. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus' death on the cross triumphed everything over the forces of evil. Amen? So the scripture I want to start with this morning is 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 1 to 3, and then verse 9. And I want you to listen to what Paul says. He talks about himself, and then he talks about you. Amen? You can't talk about nobody else until you're able to talk about yourself. Amen? Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. I need to stop right there. He says, called to be saints. He says, sanctified people are called to be saints. And with that, in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's verses 1 to 3, where Paul is telling the saints, the people, the members of the church, the body of Christ, that you are called to be saints. Amen? You are called to be saints. Then he says in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are committed to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we are set free from the burden of our past deeds and no longer live in the darkness and the fear of evil powers. When you are in Christ Jesus, you don't have to live in darkness any longer. You don't have to fear evil powers. You don't have to fear ignorance. And you don't have to fear the meaningless life that you used to live. Amen? In this new freedom, Jesus has called us to grow. Come on, somebody. He has called us to grow. If you ain't growing, you decreasing. You're either going up or you're going down. Nothing stays the same. Come on. He has called us to grow in Jesus Christ. Sometimes my feelings get hurt. But then I have to know who I am. My feelings get hurt when I say on Bible study and there's three or four people. You know the Bible? Because every time I look at a scripture, I could get something different every time I look at it again. I call for prayer. And I've heard people don't want to get on prayer. But when something happened, I don't have to say it, you already know. In our freedom, when we grow in the likeness of Christ, we communicate with him daily in prayer. Jesus was always going up to be alone to commune with the Father. When we grow in his likeness, we're always feeding on his word, meditating on it, and its providence. Its providence. Meditating on the power of the word of Christ. Amen. When we grow in this new character, we're always singing his praises. When we have praise on our lips, it's not just when something goes good, according to us. But it says, in all things, in every situation, give God the praise. You don't know what the outcome on the other side is going to be. You only know what you're dealing with right now. Amen? But God already knows the outcome. He already knows what's on the other side. He already knows why he used you. He picked you. Hallelujah. When you grow in the likeness of his character, you gather together for worship. And let me tell you something. When I sit up here, I can see who's worshiping. I can see who's on the phone. I can see who's having a conversation that has nothing to do with what's going on. But you say, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to let you know that you're my God. Let me tell you something. I see only a little bit, but God sees all. And he knows your heart. If your heart ain't in it, come on somebody. If your heart ain't in it, if your heart ain't in it, when you love somebody, if your heart ain't in it, they say, let me go. You come to church. If your heart ain't in it, don't come. Because the power of people worshiping together, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, that he's in the midst. He only took 12 disciples. He only picked 12. He knew there's a lot of confusion and too much. Come on, somebody. And then somebody can't worship over here because they're overhearing what you're saying over there. I gotta say what he told me to say. And I didn't know notes. But I gotta say what he told me to say. When we grow in the likeness of Christ, we give ourselves to service and loving service to those that are around us. Amen. Witnessing his salvation, his last command. Go. And make disciples. He didn't say, grow my church. He said, go and make disciples of all. Amen. Go and make disciples. Too busy. You know what? I'd rather have a church with this many people than a congregation of thousands and nobody know anything about the word. That nobody's come to understand what it's all about. That nobody's a disciple. Everybody's there because it's the place to be. Wherever God is the place to be. Whether it's 5, 50, 500, 5,000, 5 million. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We are God's stewards. And we are entrusted by him. Have you ever been entrusted with something? Come on. Have you ever been entrusted with something? You know, when somebody entrusts you with something, they don't take what they're giving you. That word trust is in there. Amen? When I married my wife, she entrusted herself to me. Amen? Jesus entrusted himself to you because he trusted that you'd realize that when he died on the cross, that everything was set free. Come on, somebody. Whatever you're going through, when he died there, it's all finished. It's eliminated. He's done it all. There's no do-over. He doesn't have to do it again. He did it once and for all, and it is perfect. God has entrusted us with time. You know, time is one of the most valuable things that you have. He has entrusted you with time. When he woke you up this morning, he entrusted you with time. Everybody didn't get this morning, and everybody didn't get more time. Oh, hallelujah. God has given us abilities, and he has given us possessions, and he has blessed us with things on this earth and all of his resources. And we are responsible to him for their proper use. Amen. And one of the biggest battles that we have to fight right now is not as what is seen. It's what's unseen. Can everybody just close your eyes for a moment for me? Can you just close your eyes? Close your eyes. Tell me what you see. Tell me what you see. Tell me what you see. You can open them. That's how some of our spiritual eyes are. We don't see nothing. Things going on right now, you don't see nothing. The devil running rampant, you don't see nothing. Because your spiritual eyes are closed. Oh, hallelujah. Your children running around with people you got no business running around with. But you don't see nothing. They playing music and you don't hear nothing. They're going to school and the teachers are teaching them something about nothing. You can't walk around with your spiritual eyes closed. Amen. Satan is intensely. He's intense about his, oh, hallelujah. We some weak people. I'm going to have to tell it like it is. You see people out there with the Muhammad speaks. Hey, brother. They putting it in your face. You see on them Saturdays, them days of the week, those Jehovah Witnesses, they out there every day. They got a spot. They got assignments. They're out there 2-3 times a week at their assignments. And somebody signs off on it. Try to get, I can't get you on prayer. How am I get you to go out witnessing with me? Come on, somebody. They got assignments. But God has given each and every one of us an assignment. Hallelujah. Satan is intentionally, he's intentional about what he's doing. He is opposed to anything of God. That means if you are of God, he's opposed to you. That means no matter what you're going through, understand that you're going to have trials and tribulations. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Prayer. We got to pray. Prayer is the ultimate secret weapon. It is the strategic weapon. That's the only thing we got. Prayer. That's the weapon of warfare. Come on, somebody. Don't be trying to fight the devil by yourself, but get on your knees and pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. In Luke 22, Jesus warned the disciples that their best plan of attack, they ought to pray. Amen. What we find is people are always ready for the physical battle, the physical violence, but not the spiritual battle. Come on, somebody. Come on. Listen to this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthened by their brethren. There's something in there that I don't think that I picked up until I started doing this morning. He told Peter, he said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith don't fail. I understood that. But he said, but when you are converted, when you are, wasn't Peter a disciple? Wasn't he supposed to be saved? Didn't he follow Jesus all around? Didn't people see Jesus and see Peter? Hallelujah. But Jesus said to him, when you are converted, and I venture to say, for some of us, we'll be able to be the disciples that Jesus wants us to be when we are. Don't mean that you're not saved, but you're not converted. You got to be a convert. Jesus' statement reveals two important truths. That God will allow Satan to tempt us only within certain limits and according to his permission. You see, because right after Jesus said that, Peter was saying, Lord, I will follow you no matter what goes on, no matter what you do. And Jesus said, wait a minute, Peter. You're going to deny me three times. Three times. That cock is going to crow. And you are going to deny me. That says that somebody could be so close to you. And they could be right in your face. And they could tell you things over and over again. And they don't know that Satan is sifting them like wheat unless you pray for them. Come on, somebody. You got to pray for those closest to you. Who are you going to believe after you? The one closest to you. Come on, somebody. Husbands are going to believe their wives. Wives are going to believe their husband. You better pray for that husband. You better pray for that wife. You better pray for that sister. You better pray for that brother. You better pray for that person that you're going to believe next. Hallelujah. The devil is not free to do whatever he wants to do with God's people. If you are God's people, listen, if you are God's people, he says, my people, they know me. They know my voice. Hallelujah. My people, he called you his people. My sheep, they know my voice. When I call, they hear me. When I call, they come. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Jesus prays the faith for all of his people that they will not fail. He's praying for you right now. He's at the intercessor seat next to his Father on the right hand side of God praying for you right now. Come on, somebody. Paul tells the church in these words, praying at all times, not sometimes, not just when you got the prayer line, not when you just go and do something. He said, praying at all times in the spirit. Praying at all times in the spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. He says, making supplication for all of the saints. Who are the saints? I go back to the beginning where it says, unto the church, to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. So you don't just pray for your friend, your clique. You pray for all of the saints. I don't care how you feel. Remember, it's not how you feel. It's who you are. Come on, somebody. You came in here with your feelings today, they're going to get hurt. But when you are, and you know who you are, you ain't worried about your feelings. Amen. Prayer must be an important part of our lives. Amen. Jesus' words today, he prayed that we do not enter into temptation. Amen? We got to know what kind of church we are. We got to know what kind of church God expects us to be. When Paul was praying for these people at Corinth, amen? He was praying for these believers to be right. His prayer was for their spiritual lives. He was praying that they would be enriched by the spiritual gifts they had. Everybody in here has a spiritual gift. Come on, somebody. You know why? Because the Lord giveth. And he doesn't hold anything back from you. So everybody in here has a spiritual gift. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be totally personally perfect. But when you use your spiritual gift the way that God has you using them, God will keep you. Come on, somebody. He will keep you. And he will enable you to demonstrate a Christian character. To give evidence. To give evidence. How many walking around here today that somebody said, oh, I didn't know they was a Christian. Did you hear what they just said? I didn't know they was a Christian. Did you see what they just did? God will enable you to be able to go through the trials and tribulations that you're going to go through. Because you're going to go through them. Each and every one of us has a temptation that we must face. You know what that temptation is? The thing that gave you the greatest pleasure when you was on the outside. Come on, somebody. You know the thing that you love to do? That you love to do? That you like so much that you can never think that you can never be without it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Therefore, somebody has said, you cannot choose your calling. God chooses you. Your calling chooses you. I'm going to tell you, I didn't wake up one day and wanted to be pastor. Because I loved the things I was doing out there. Amen? God didn't tell you, you didn't grow up saying, I want to be a deacon. You loved what you was doing out there. Rosa adventure for that. You didn't grow up saying, I want to be an auxiliary leader, an evangelist, a teacher. But God gifted you with the gifts. And your gifts are yours and nobody can take them away. We like to say what's for you is for you. And what's for me is for me. Amen. Come on, somebody. Confusion starts when we want to be the pastor and we the teacher. Or we want to be the teacher and we the evangelist. We want to be the evangelist and we the usher. Come on, somebody. You are unique people of God. You are the people he is preparing and building you and building to live with him forever and ever. I told my wife all of the adversities, all the things I went through prepared me for the things that I do now. You know what? This can be a very, no, it cannot be. It is a very lonely spot here. Because when you don't feel like it, come on, somebody. See, now I'm about to take my tie off. When you don't feel like it, the work still got to be done. And that's my charge. So whether you feel like it or not, I got to know who I am. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. God has freely given you a gift already, not just of life, but eternal life. And nothing can ever separate you from this love of God. His love is eternal. Listen to what he says about you. Somebody need to give God a hand right now. Listen to what he said about you. But you are a chosen people. Come on, are you? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's special possession. Do you know what special is? When it's special, you get ready to go in the restaurant, they say, these are today's specials. Amen. When you walk outside, the devil already know, these are God's special possessions. It's all over your face. It's all in your walk. It's all in your talk. That you're already marked special. You got a big S on your back. Hallelujah. I put it on your back. So when the devil comes at you, you turn around and walk away from him. So he can see that you are a special possession. Come on, somebody. And then he says that you might declare. I do declare. Come on. That you might declare the praises of him who called you. He called you. He called you and you and you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Oh, hallelujah. What kind of people are you? A chosen generation. Don't you know what it is? Have you ever played? I know Deacon already knows it. Anybody who ever played ball or did something, you know, you pick sides. Don't you want to be chosen? You'll be standing up there, oh, pick me, pick me, pick me. And when you're not picked, you're disappointed. But you are a chosen. Somebody should be giving God a hand. You should feel special because you're chosen. A chosen. He chose you. All the people in the world. You know what? Everybody ain't going to make it. See? Everybody's not going to make it. There's a lot of people that's going to be on the ride going down than there is going up. But he chose you. Don't you feel special this morning? Come on. Come on, somebody. Don't you feel special? Let me tell you, you are a special people. And you better know what your purpose is. Amen. Listen, I'm going to go back to this again. I don't care how you feel. You better know what you're here to do. Your purpose is to show praises to God. Come on, somebody. Your purpose ain't to come to church and put on your good clothes that you just brought, from your shoes from DSW, your dress from Macy's, your jewelry from Tiffany's. You ain't here for that. You're here to show God his praises. Amen. Hallelujah. This is God's church, and he wants it to be triumphant. Amen. God must be glorified through the life of every one of us. Every one of us must get into the act of glorifying God. Amen. I want to know, God has made you rulers over everything. You don't believe that, do you? I say he made you rulers. Do you believe that? Huh? I'm not getting responses. I said, do you believe that? That he has made you rulers over everything. You saying, well, you're looking at me like, how could you say that? Because if he's my father and he created and he owns everything and I'm his son, that means that I'm next in line. Huh? I'm you his daughter, you're next in line. You're next in line. Don't let man tell you what you can and you can't have. Come on, somebody. Then he said he will give you his riches. Then he said he gave you the keys to the kingdom. One day I'm going to get up here and I'm going to preach about how God is the ultimate, Jesus was the ultimate businessman. That every business that you see going on that is successful, it's a biblical principle that they are following. Come on, somebody. You say, I want to open a business. I want to be successful. You follow God's godly principles. You're going to be successful. I know some of you don't believe me, but I'm going to prove it to you. What does every businessman want to do? Not just get money. They can only get money if they satisfy you. Right? God satisfies us. Come on. The principle's right there. You can only keep customers when you're humble and you give them, you welcome them in. You make it nice and comfy for them to come in. Amen. You want to see a church that grows? When you make it nice and comfy for people to come in. Not, who's that coming in here today? Come on, somebody. That's a business principle. If you got your money and you get ready to go in the store and a person stare you down like, what you doing here? You're going to turn around and walk out because your money spends good everywhere. Amen? 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 And God gives you everything that he has given you keys to the kingdom, because you know what? The devil will offer you everything on this earth. He did it to Jesus. He'll do it to you. But when you look at the heavenly places that God wants to take you, the heavenly realm, come on. Because he says, I will give you whatever you lose here on earth will be. It's already loosed in heaven. And whatever you bind here in earth will be bound in heaven. It's time for you to bound the devil in your household. Bind him up. Bind them up in your relationships. Bind them up on your jobs. Bind them up in your neighborhoods. Bind them up. Whatever you bind here is bound in heaven already. The devil's already bound. He can't go there. God has given you the keys. You waiting for this psychologist to do something for you? What God bounds here on earth, you can bind it up. Those are emotions that you're feeling. That's what I had this morning, anxiety, and I prayed to God to bind it up in the name of Jesus. Whatever's going on right now, bind it up in the name of Jesus. Bind it up. Hallelujah. It's not how you feel. It's who you are. When you know what you know, what you know, you can bind it up. When you get into your feelings, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. When you get into your feelings, I want you to remember these words. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord. Repeat it after me. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. Come on, somebody. His truth, come on, his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not, say, I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the owl that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000. Come on, somebody. Say 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But thou shalt not come near. Come near me. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody bless the Lord. Somebody bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. What a word. What a word. Hallelujah. Knowing who you are. How many of us really believe today we know who we are?